I suspect that everyone who's here today, who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, they know, you know, that you are on a journey. Not just a journey through life, not even just a journey to heaven, that's true, but you as a believer are on a journey of transformation with God. God has gone on record as saying that he is absolutely committed. He is resolved to make you like his son, Jesus Christ. That is the grand purpose that encloses the lives of all believers. It encloses everything about being a Christian. I mean, there's no action or decision or ambition or relationship or anything about our lives that can be divorced from that controlling purpose. It's our very reason for living now, to become like Jesus Christ. But how do we go forward on this journey of transformation with God to becoming like, more like Jesus Christ? Well, what I want to do today is to share with you four principles about that journey of transformation. And let me stress that they are drawn from the breadth of the New Testament. You'll see that as we go through the study. Secondly, I can now say, with whatever it is, 35 years or more of being a Christian, that they're also supported by experience. They're taught by Scripture. I have lived them. And the third thing I would say is, whether you're hearing these principles for the first or second or third time or the 1,000th time, they are always deeply relevant and helpful. I often say to people, particularly those who have just recently come to faith in Jesus Christ, I say this: Christian living is demanding, but it is not complicated. And you'll see what I mean by that as we move on. But there are four biblical principles, truths, that help us understand the big picture of how God works in us and with us to achieve his sovereign purpose of making us like his son. And what I'll do is, with each of these four principles, I'll first state what becoming Christ is not like before stating what it is like. So let me just get stuck into that. Four principles, and this will be deeply practical today, folks. Number one, becoming like Christ is not sudden, but is progressive. One thing we need to be crystal clear on as Christians is the difference between two great Christian doctrines, truths: the truth of justification and the truth of sanctification. Two big words, but let's unpack them a little. If we fail to understand the distinction between God's work of justification for us and God's work of sanctification for us, we will hit problems in our Christian lives. Justification is the action by which God declares us holy. Sanctification is the action by which God makes us holy. Justification is instantaneous. It's an event. It happens in a moment. Sanctification is ongoing. It's an ongoing process in our lives. Justification relates to our position in Christ. Sanctification relates to our condition in Christ. We could put it like this. Justification refers to our standing in Christ. Sanctification refers to our state in Christ. Our justification is fixed. Our sanctification is fluid. In justification, Christ's own righteousness is imparted to us. In sanctification, Christ's own righteousness becomes infused into us through the progressive work of the indwelling Spirit. Now, those are helpful ways for us of distinguishing between these two great works of God for the Christian, justification and sanctification. And we need to understand that when it comes to sanctification, God's work to make us holy in practice, in life, there are no shortcuts. There are no quick fixes. There is no switch that can be flicked. There is no spiritual zapping that fast forwards the process. This is our lifetime goal, to become like Christ. And there is never a time when we are anything other than a work in progress. The Apostle Paul summed up his entire ministry as aiming at this goal. This is what he said in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. This is after talking to the believers and telling them that they have Christ in them, the hope of glory, the pledge of glory. He says this, "We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect or mature, fully developed in Christ." Paul never let up. He never backed off. He kept doing one thing with the people of God, proclaiming Christ, declaring the riches of Christ, because that is how the people of God were going to be moved to this spiritual maturity, this Christ-likeness. God has committed himself to working with us for the long haul. And I would say to you, remember that. And it will keep you sane when you're not as far along as you would like to be. It won't make us complacent, but it will allow us to remain confident that God is still in control. He has taken us on. And perhaps we could not do any better than borrow the words of the former drunken slave trader, John Newton, author of the hymn Amazing Grace, of course. This is what John Newton famously said. think of this, that becoming like Christ is not sudden, but it is progressive. John Newton wrote this, "I am not what I ought to be. I'm not what I wish to be. I'm not what I hope to be. But by the grace of God, I'm not what I used to be." John Newton was a man being transformed by the amazing grace of God. Little by little, over time, becoming like Christ is not sudden, but progressive. Secondly, becoming like Christ is not a technique, but a relationship. Jesus Christ is not a guru. He's not a religious teacher, a spiritual guide who encourages his followers, you know, to study his ideas and insights and to follow his path and example. That is a wholly inadequate view of Jesus. Jesus Christ is not so much someone who shows the way. He is the way. Jesus Christ is not someone who merely teaches the truth. He himself is the truth. He is not someone who instructs us on what life is about. He is the life of God. Jesus Christ is the living Lord. And every single Christian is in living union with him. Our task is to remain, to abide in communion with him. We're in living union with him. We always will be, but our call is to remain in active communion with him. Our relationship is to be one of living fellowship. Fellowship, relationship that is vital and fresh. Jesus is the true vine. We are the branches. We are to allow his life to fill ours. So we welcome his companionship and presence into every area and aspect of our life. We cultivate his friendship day by day. We live life with him. We journey through life with him, conscious he is at our side. We practice the lordship of Christ, willingly taking his yoke upon us and learning from him. Again, Paul in the Colossian letter spells this out for us, a tremendous statement in chapter 2, verse 6. This is why I said at the start, Christian living is demanding, but it is not complicated. This is what Paul says in chapter 2, verse 6 of Colossians. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. That's remarkable. Remember that time, that moment of salvation, when you just stood empty, bankrupt, and you just submitted to and received Jesus Christ as Lord. Paul says, you see that moment of absolute submission when you just gave yourself without reserve to Christ. That's how to go forward. That's how to go forward. That's how you will become like Christ. That's not a technique. You know, tick the box. You've prayed today. You've read today. You've attended today. You've given today. All those things will be involved. But we're talking about a relationship, a living relationship with the living Lord in whom we move and live and have our being. Becoming like Christ is the result of this relationship, this life shared together. I always said to my sons when they were growing up, I always said to them, boys, you will become like those you hang about with. You will absorb everything about them. And you know, that's actually the dynamic of the Christian life. Open your life up to Christ in submission and in thankfulness to Him. Just let Him in to everything that you are. And you'll progressively become like Him. Becoming like Christ is not sudden, but progressive. Becoming like Christ is not a technique, but a relationship. Thirdly, becoming like Christ is not passive, but active. We're not animals. We're not puppets. We're not robots. We are human beings, God's image bearers. And as such, we are invited to cooperate with God on this journey of transformation. God, in His grace, will move to bend our wills, but He will never violate our wills. The New Testament is a call to cooperate with God as He works out His will, His purposes in our life. It's a call to cooperation. We are not idle onlookers. You know, we don't sit with our arms folded as God gets on with the work of making us like Christ. It's not like, you know, we leave the computer on overnight to download some new software. You'll never get up in the morning after a good night's sleep and discover that you've become more Christ-like subconsciously overnight as your brain recharges. Listen to the language of the New Testament. Wrestle, work, fight, run, resist. Do you see the vocabulary? Verbs, they're calling us to action. And I think that the absolute classic passage that makes this so abundantly clear, which shows us the dynamic at work as we're becoming more like Christ, it comes in 2 Peter chapter 1. In verse 3 there, Peter tells an amazing statement that God, by His divine power, has given us everything that we need for life and godliness, everything we need to live a godly life through His precious promises, enabling us to become a partaker of the divine nature and escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. God has given you everything you need to live a God-like life. That's to become like Christ. God's given us everything we need. So lie back, chill out, let go and let God, as the hippies used to say. What does Peter say next? Verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. And then he goes and describes seven characteristics, seven things that we build into our life because God has given us
everything we need to live a godly life. Make every effort. Becoming like Christ is not passive, but active. Peter calls on us to fill out on the basis of God's sufficient provision for us. God's determination to change us and his provision for that transformation then invites us to costly cooperation so that he can form Christ in our character and our conduct. Becoming like Christ is not sudden, but progressive. It is not a technique, but a relationship. It is not passive, but active. Fourth and finally, becoming like Christ is not private, but shared. Real Christianity can never be a solitary, private, esoteric experience, pursuit. Richard Bewes was a colleague of John Stott, and he wrote this: "In Jesus Christ, we have been born into a family. An astounding assortment of badly matched personalities, eccentrics, and misfits. You are one of them." And that is the church. I have to say, I read another incredibly wonderful description of the church just recently. It is the Society for the Abolition of Sin and Death. I thought that was just marvelous, but that's just an aside. You see, everyone is on the same level ground around the cross. And standing there, we have this joint corporate goal that we all become like Christ. We move together to the achievement of this goal. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 12, chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. He explains why God has placed us in the church that he has equipped with gifts. Here's the reason why. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. All the people of God together moving to this full maturity in Jesus Christ. And in recent decades, particularly in the West, living the Christian life has been privatized, demutualized. Remember what used to happen with the building societies? They demutualized. The spirit of the age, which says, I look after me and mine, you look after you and yours, it has infected the church. And while the world laments the breakdown of social cohesion, a social conscience, community responsibility, the disintegration of the family, maybe this experience of coronavirus has given some sort of opportunity to think about what it means to be in relationship with each other in a society. But what has happened is the church has not been countercultural enough in this rampant individualism. In this, you know, we even start to read the New Testament in a highly individualistic way. We see ourselves as a collection of individuals. We are not. We are a body, a family. New Testament tells every Christian this, You belong to Christ and you belong to one another. We are in this together. Jesus Christ is inseparable from his people. I think this is one of the most telling evidences that often someone who maybe thinks they are a Christian are actually not a Christian. They have no interest in the people of God. Jesus Christ is inseparable from his people. Christ and the church are a package deal. John says this is one of the ways we know we have eternal life. We love the brethren. It's just an evidence of conversion. But let me give you two references which show this. You maybe think that's overstatement. You know, no, I love Jesus. You know, I'm not just so fond of his people. Well, let me just refer you to two things. Acts chapter 9, verse 4 is the famous conversion of Saul on the Damascus Road. And Jesus speaks to Saul from heaven. And he says this, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute them?" No, he doesn't say that. He says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Paul never laid a hand on Jesus. Maybe never even met Jesus or in the flesh in that way. But when he persecuted Christians, he persecuted Christ. Christ said so. So mark that. And then go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, where the writer says this, "God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them." Oh, I love God. I have no time for Christians. No, no. The love you have shown him as you've helped his people. You see, those two verses, they're worth marking. To help or to harm Christ's people is to help or to harm Christ. If you do not make his people the very center of your life, then by definition, Jesus Christ is not at the center of your life. And you will not become like him. The call of the New Testament again and again is commit yourself to one another. Commit yourselves to each other on this journey of becoming like Christ. View fellowship as an absolute priority. What a strange situation we find ourselves in. Maybe some people have realized the preciousness of gathering, of being physically together with each other in these strange days. But if it was back to where it was, what value do we put on meeting together, of being in each other's lives, of sharing life, doing life together? And in that, we need to reflect the indiscriminate love of Jesus for his people by discovering what we have in common together in Christ. The Christians who make the greatest progress are those who commit to the body of Christ. There is not a single Christian on earth now or in the past 20 centuries who has made spiritual progress and become more like Christ if they are not in active communion with his people. I love the beautiful description that Paul gives of Christ-likeness in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15. He says this, "You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints." The Authorized Version translates it this way, "They have addicted themselves to the edification of the saints." That's the only addiction that I can think of that's a positive one. It was just what they were about, the building up of their brothers and sisters. They were just like Christ in that, committed to the maturing of the people of God. Christian living is demanding, but it's not complicated. We are all on this journey of transformation with God, where He's making us like His Son. And here are four principles for that journey. Becoming like Christ is not sudden, but it's progressive. It's not a technique, a checklist or whatever. It's a living relationship. It's not passive, but it's active fellowship dependence on Christ, allowing Him in, playing our part, cooperating with His grace. And finally, it's not a private, solitary pursuit. It's a shared experience with all the people of God. May God help us to have those biblical principles written into our hearts so that they will shape us as His people.